minus 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
We are go.
The fusion of rational thought and political analysis.
This is what your brain has been waiting for. News, politics, and issues in hand.
You've just joined the WillCal Majority.
The next generation of great talk radio. The undisputed leader of the new school. And WillCal Serious XM Patriot phone lines, as always, 1-695-PATRIOT, 957-2874. The email to spell my name right, WILKW at WillCalMajority.com. Individual Patriot first, conservative second, Republican third, and working every single day to make this the most popular program offered by SiriusXM Radio, because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that is rational thought. So welcome to the WillCal Majority. I'm Andrew WillCal. All right, joining us, got a long resume and bio here I want to get through. Gail Trotter, we usually see her every year at CPAC. Always good to have her join us on Radio Row. She is a lawyer. She is the spokeswoman for the Judicial Crisis Network. She is the host of the Gail Trotter Show. She contributes to The Hill, Daily Caller, and Town Hall, and you see her on Fox News a lot, and she's joining us right now. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Andrew. How are you doing?
Very good. Good and feeling a little bad. I think I've got to the bottom of why Mike Flynn was so heavily targeted for unmasking by Obama and company. And that is, if you look back at 2012, 2013, and 2014, his absolute refusal to go along with the narrative on Benghazi, his absolute belief that Barack Obama was lying about the rise of ISIS, his absolute belief that Obama was blowing it in Afghanistan, and then the cardinal sin of joining the Trump campaign. If you notice, when the majority of the unmasking against Flynn, when the real spike was, it's when he joined in with Trump.
Well, I want to share with you that I am speaking about this issue as an American citizen and in my personal capacity, and I am outraged at the treatment of General Flynn by the Obama administration. And I couldn't underscore those points that you made enough, and particularly given that General Flynn, when he became part of the Trump campaign, he was really pointing out all of the deficits in Obama's foreign policy. And, you know, the entire point of Trump's campaign was to try to roll back the damage that Obama and his minions did, not only in our foreign policy, but so many things that impacted American citizens. And the media just wouldn't cover this at all. They were happy to be completely incurious about the treatment of General Flynn. And now we're seeing the unavoidable information that has emerged in his case that the Obama administration weaponized intelligence information against not only an innocent American citizen, but also a political opponent of the prior administration. And it should concern, scare, and outrage all American citizens.
Well, look where this all began. Eric Holder gave an interview and he said the president is going after political enemies. Well, what was the IRS targeting the Tea Party? What was the surveillance of James Rosen at Fox News and even an Associated Press reporter? Why was Carter Page, who was a CIA asset, targeted? Right, because once you are, you're either with us or against us. They say that's how Trump works, right? You're either with him or against him. Excuse me, that's how Obama works. He might as well just run for mayor of Chicago.
And Obama's response to the targeting by the IRS of Tea Party groups, Liberty Patriotic groups during the run-up to the 2012 election, when that came out, he said there has never been a smidgen of corruption. I think he said that in an interview with Bill O'Reilly. And I think this has probably been the most corrupt administration that we've seen in my lifetime. And when you think about the private information that the Obama administration was trying to go after and the rules that they changed on unmasking, even related to Congress, you can see that it was not just inadvertent or that it was in pursuit of the national security of Americans to make us safer. It was to try and advance their political agenda and to hold on to power.
I want to know what the reason was. He was talking to Russians. Okay, is there a law against that? if there is, you better arrest the Podestas and Bill Clinton and a whole bunch of other people. He was the incoming national security advisor and had a conversation with the ambassador, Sergey Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. I'm looking at a piece right now from back in 2017. Headline, Dem senator who said she never met with Russian ambassador. She did. Once donated to a foundation whose board he sits on. That's the story of Claire McCaskill. Claire McCaskill lied repeatedly about her relationship with Kislyak. There was no FBI surveillance. There was no unmasking. Nobody was making transcripts of her calls or bugging her when she was meeting with the Russians. Why was this all of a sudden something to open up an investigation into Flynn, but not McCaskill?
Because laws are for the little people, and apparently laws are not for Democrats. There's this hypocrisy, there's this double standard, and when you look at this, it's not only the unmasking. I would recommend to you an article written by former New York prosecutor Annie McCarthy, who talked about the unmasking of General Flynn, how outrageous that was. But when you go to the nexus of what the White House interview was based on, it was a communication between Kislyak and Flynn on December 29th, and there is no unmasking of General Flynn close to that date. And so Annie McCarthy makes the point that they were probably not abiding by the rules that they should have been for masking Flynn in the first place. And they were either getting information from the CIA or maybe a foreign intelligence agency. And to think about that, like you said, he was doing what he should do as national security advisor. He was trying to build bridges. He was trying to make connections to have this transition go smoothly. And for the crime of being associated with President Trump, he has become a punching bag for the Department of Justice under Obama and a lot of the holdovers. And we're seeing this effort going forward with Judge Sullivan calling for friends of the court briefs and specifically asking former Clinton judge and prosecutor John Gleason to essentially resurrect the Obama Justice Department's case against General Flynn and threatening to add a perjury charge, which was never even in the original case.
The piece you're talking about, the headline is Unmasking. The real story is when Mike Flynn was not masked in the first place. And McCarthy writes, there's no such evidence in the unmasking list that acting National Intelligence Director Richard Grenell provided to Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson. I suspect that's because General Flynn's identity was not masked in the first place. Instead, his December 29th call with Kislyak was likely intercepted under an intelligence program not subject to masking rules, probably by the CIA, a foreign spy service, acting in a nod and wink arrangement with our intelligence community.
Exactly. And General Flynn was overseas on that day. Maybe Kislyak was too. We don't know. But the point is, you know, you remember that the revelations came out about the NSA spying on American citizens during the Obama administration. They were so upset at Edward Snowden and so upset at the WikiLeaks founder. And yet you see that there's this pattern in practice where they were going after their political opponents. And I can't understand why the media, the establishment media, is so not interested in what is a huge story, except that they are so aligned with the Democratic Party and with the, hero worship of the Obama administration.
I think the straw that broke the camel's back for Obama was when Flynn went on Al Jazeera to criticize Obama. It wasn't enough that he was on Fox, he was on CNN, but he went on Al Jazeera and gave a lengthy interview and basically said Obama was a failure on military and foreign policy. And that was probably too much for Obama to take. You know, say what you want to Fox News. You don't go on international, you know, television and say those things. And I'm starting to get the picture, because what's bizarre is, and I was saying this before you came on, that I was, the way I set up a monologue for my own television program is before I write anything, I start to compile clips and articles and quotes, and then I start to sort of weave them together. And as I was doing this, I found it harder and harder to, if you type in Mike Flynn, ISIS, Mike Flynn, Benghazi, Mike Flynn, Obama, Mike Flynn, conflict, Mike Flynn, disagree, Mike Flynn, narrative, I started to find that very early on, as chief of the DIA, he ran into direct conflict with the commander-in-chief. Now, look, a commander-in-chief is free to remove people that run into, you know,
right,
direct conflict. That's I'm not disputing Obama's power to say, all right, you know, I don't like you as DIA chief, you're out, okay? That's not what I'm here to worry about. What I am worried about was the time after, where Flynn now becomes this very credible, I like we use that word a lot, that very credible critic of Obama, and then makes his way into the inner circle of Donald Trump, who's now running to become president. If he had stayed on as national security advisor, he would have been in a very strong position to prove all of Obama's failures, for all the, to lay them bare. I don't believe for a second that Obama was going to allow that to happen by any means necessary. He was going to make sure that Flynn was not going to be there with the ability to make him look bad.
It's as KT McFarland said, General Flynn, because he had been an intelligence community director of national intelligence, he knew where the bodies were buried. And I'm so glad you brought up that Al Jazeera interview, because remember all the stuff that was going on during the Obama administration, the secret deal with Iran, the pallets of cash, and you have that at the same time as part of what the challenge to General Flynn was the allegation that he discussed a UN resolution against Israel during that phone call with the Ambassador Kislyak, and that ran counter to what the Obama administration was trying to do with Iran in their ridiculous nuclear deal. And so you can see all of these things coming to a head in this phone call, and the effort, the FBI was going to close the investigation, the counterintelligence investigation against General Flynn, which shouldn't have been open in the first place, obviously. But then they were able to bootstrap this interview with General Flynn in the White House to this call with Kislyak that supposedly concerned sanctions that Obama had put on the Russians and this UN resolution. So I love that you raised that Al Jazeera interview, because it shows how much General Flynn was in the thick of things when these discussions were being had about Iran and Israel and general foreign policy calculations. And that is why he became a target of this Crossfire Hurricane investigation. And even before that, and Fred Flights has an excellent article that I would commend to you as well, talking about the weaponization of the intelligence community. And this is a question that Fred raised that I agree with. Why didn't career intelligence people stand up to this? They knew this was wrong. Why did they allow this to occur? Because they are safe. They're entrusted by the American people with so much of our private information in furtherance of our national security. But they must have known this was wrong. It definitely went against what was done previously. And why didn't they speak up?
After this segment, I'm going to play. It's a little bit long, so I'm not going to play it with you just sitting on hold. I went back and looked at this is what a dork I am, and how I just watching old C-SPAN tapes is so boring. I call C-SPAN gloriously boring. I managed to dig up this Senate hearing in 2013, and former Senator Kelly Ayotte asked some really sharp questions. Clapper and Flynn were together in this. And she starts asking about attacks that led to Benghazi and whether or not Clapper was taking them seriously. Was he briefing the president? Was he briefing Hillary Clinton? She asks him a direct question about deteriorating security. And he says, well, I don't really, you know about that. But then Flynn says something. They go to Flynn and he says something very damning. He starts talking about militia groups in Western Afghanistan and Iraq, and he says it is our belief that the Iranians are training these people with small weapons. And Senator Ayotte says, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Military training." You know, he says, I'm paraphrasing. I'll play the clip in a little bit. He basically says, you know, they're providing the training. It's not just the weapons. Anybody can hand out AK-47s. He says they're teaching them military tactics. It's one thing we know about Benghazi and Flynn, that the whole narrative that it was because of a YouTube video, people who are angry about YouTube videos don't coordinate mortar fire.
No. I think that is a key point. And I think, you know, it's hard for us to keep all of this together because there's so many little trails that we have to follow, like watching that interaction with Senator Ayotte, understanding that Flynn knew everything that was going on, and he was fired by the Obama administration. And I think it's really telling that when President Obama had his first meeting with President-elect Trump, he essentially talked to him. It was a 90-minute meeting, and the two big things that he talked about were North Korea and telling President-elect Trump not to hire General Flynn. So think about that. In Obama's mind, hiring General Flynn had the same level of prominence as discussing how to handle North Korea. And you can see he was just trying so hard to try and make sure that General Flynn did not become an excellent advocate against the failed foreign policy of the Obama administration in the new Trump administration.
You have to wonder, look, the Iran nuclear deal was opposed by almost every Republican and certainly probably looked foolish to President Trump without anyone telling him. But can you imagine what the state of the Iran nuclear deal would have been with Mike Flynn as the, Trump pulled, that was one of the first things he said is, I'm getting out of this. But try to imagine, Mike Flynn by his side, who again was very hawkish on Iran. Not that he wanted to invade, but again, he was saying, look, these proxy militias, they're being funded, they're being trained by Iran. Iran became Obama's baby,
right?
At some point. And I'm starting to look at this and see that where Flynn would have been in a position to make Obama look really bad and prove his failures. There he was, a thorn in his side on CNN, on Al Jazeera, now on the campaign trail with President Trump, now becoming, as the New York Times said, a cult figure among Republicans. There was no way these people, in the waning months of their administration, and we heard Evelyn, was it Farkas, saying that that we had to bury information or leak it, but because we couldn't have these people coming in and looking at what we were up to, Flynn was too dangerous for the outgoing Obama administration.
And think about that. The Middle East is not monolithic. It's not Israel against every other country in the Middle East. A tremendous amount of our allies in the Middle East were very upset about the Iran nuclear deal. And I remember hearing from Democrats over and over again, faulting Trump for, upsetting our allies in Europe. Well, what about President Obama upsetting our allies in the Middle East by pushing this Iran nuclear deal, which would really change the balance of power in the Middle East? And when you think about that, General Flynn had so much inside information that he, going in as national security advisor, he would have a lot of information to help President Trump be able to put into practice his new foreign policy in opposition to what President Obama had done. And you raise that issue, too. Think about the leak, the strategic leak that was made so that David Ignatius of The Washington Post could write about that phone call with Kislyak and Flynn. And we see this over and over again, these strategic leaks, and they need to be investigated and they need to be prosecuted because of that, you had this man's life destroyed. He was fired from his job. He had to defend himself against a overarching federal government prosecution. And he is still, people, last week on Twitter were saying Flynn exonerated, Flynn vacation, Flynn is free. Those were the hashtags. He's not. They're still filing motions. This guy, John Gleason, that Judge Emmett Sullivan has appointed to come in and file this friend of the court brief.
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you right there. What the hell is that? I thought the Supreme Court, including Ginsburg, said you're not supposed to be doing that.
Yes, judges are supposed to decide cases and controversies. So if the two parties tell the judge there's no case anymore, the judge shouldn't resurrect it. That goes against, it's violative of principles of justice, and it also doesn't make any sense in terms of our separation of power. The executive branch has the ability to prosecute things, not judges. Judges are not supposed to be prosecutors. That's even a phrase. So Judge Sullivan, who made some really unusual statements earlier in this case where he asked the prosecutor if the prosecutor had considered charging General Flynn with treason, which is so far from a charge of false statements to the FBI, it shows something about where Judge Sullivan's head is. And for him to open up this flood of friend of the court briefs, it's basically, as Annie McCarthy so aptly put, it's allowing the legal left an opportunity to come into this case and come up with a justification why General Flynn should be convicted and sentenced. They are not letting this man go.
All right, I got to leave it there. GailTrotter.com. GailTrotter.com is the website. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to get into this clip of Kelly Ayotte that's going to really shake things up when we come back. Thanks so much for joining us. We're right, they're wrong. That's the end of the story. The arguments on this radio program cannot be broken. SiriusXM Patriot.